Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast with your hosts, Monty G and I, Mo. Today we've got an interesting podcast in store for you. We're going to be going into a little bit of the PWI's top 500 wrestlers list. We've got some pure speculation and we've got Mo's marbles. How are you feeling today, Monty G?
I was doing very good. And then my buzz kind of just got zapped right before we recorded. But I'm trying to make it through that as we speak. But I just want to let everyone know that I have a new pre-show song. And it's like, it pumps me up. And somebody, I'm not saying my co-host did it, but I mean, there's no one else in this room, so do with that information what you will. Somebody decided to ruin all of that by making a long day even longer. Anyway, to get right into the PWI mess, because the same way I seem annoyed right now, I was already annoyed at a lot of things going on when it comes to this list. Now, I haven't listened to anybody else's take on the list. So if I'm repeating something that you heard over the last few days from other people or something like that, I promise you, this is just my pure reactions to the list. I avoided everything else that people said about it on purpose because, honestly, I don't really put too much stock into these things. But it is a great tool for content. So I was like, hey, why not? Let's check it out, see what people think. PWI, keep in mind, is definitely all about within kayfabe. So if your favorite wrestler is not mentioned or low or whatever the situation may be, is not necessarily an indictment on what they actually bring to the table as a worker. So I do want to keep that in mind. But some of these PWI things, even if you want to look at it through a kayfabe lens, it's like, okay, this is kind of an out-of-date type of thing. Or if it's not, and I know you have to take like the entire year, I think, since the last time into account. So I get that, but it's just some things going on. Like, honestly, I don't see how, if you've been watching wrestling over the last year, how Moxley is so low. John Moxley was number one, I think, the year he came to AEW, or at least the year he left WWE and kind of went to New Japan and also went to AEW, became their champion. He was number one on this list. I can make the case that everything he's done as interim champion, everything he's done to keep AEW afloat, not only just recently, because obviously he's the heart and soul right now. I think he's probably the most trusted and like he is the guy when it comes to what AEW. I think anyone who's watching currently knows that he is top 10. He's just he's the greatest representation that they have with almost no red flag. A lot of other people right now who are in certain positions in AEW, even Jericho to an extent, he's a legend and all, but of course you have those people who are tired of, you know, the way he's been portrayed and a lot of the things that he's done on television. Other guys, even though Moxley's a WWE guy himself, he's not as much of an ex-WWE guy as someone may look at Danielson or may look at maybe a Miro or some of these other guys. Even though he definitely was just as important in WWE as any of them was in his time there, the way he exited and what he's done since then has kind of separated him from that Dean Ambrose type of outlook. So, again, I don't see how Moxley's number 12, below guys. Even though I don't mind Jonathan Gresham, I love Big E, but again, like, since then, because I think it was just a couple days ago, a year since Big E won the WWE title. So, I get it. I understand that if you're taking all of that into account, he became WWE champion and all of that, even though the run ended up being not what I think any of us really wanted it to be and how it ended. And then what he did after that before getting injured was tough. So I understand why he's there. It's just, again, I think now when you look at wrestling through the lens that we're looking at it now, it's kind of tough to remember exactly where Big E was before all of that stuff started to happen to him. And the rain kind of went bad. So I get that. I have no problem with Big E being there because I love Big E, but it's still hard to be like, he had a better year in wrestling than Moxley. He had a better year in wrestling than Shingo Takagi, who was one of the most consistent guys. And if you're taking last year into account, he was the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion for a big chunk of that. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, because all the way up to Kazuchika Okada in number two is hard for me to even argue with anything. Even Hijo del Vikingo, I'm not gonna act like I know a lot about him, but just in the little research I did after seeing him so high, I can understand it just from watching. I saw like a 90-second clip, and I'm like, okay, if he can pull this off, some of this stuff off consistently, that he's sick. And I'm from what I understand, he's really, really good at it. So it was good to see Triple A get some love in the top 10. And like, and you know, Danielson being up there, he's been confused or legitimately called the best wrestler in the world for a long time. Cody Rhodes at six, before he tore his pec, he was on an unbelievable run in WWE. And, you know, and we all know about his winning percentage towards the end of his run in AEW, other than a few, TNT title match losses. Cody rarely lost anyway. So it makes sense for him to be in good standing. Kayfabe-wise, Bobby Lashley's been absolutely dominant for a long time. And, you know, now as United States champion, you know, they're starting to, and I'll get into more about the United States title in my rumors, but the way they've been depicting him as United States champion, you can't tell me he doesn't feel just as big as maybe not just as big, because we know where Roman is right now, but he feels like trying to take his title or trying to challenge him as a champion so far right now, he's probably one of the best protected champions up there with Gunther and Roman right now. So, and like I said, not to take into account, who the hell did Big E took the title from a year ago? It was Bobby. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, to take into account over the year since the last issue was put out, Bobby has definitely earned his spot. And I can make the case that maybe he can be a little higher, but I have no problem with Adam Page being right above him, and then CM Punk right there. And again, maybe you can switch those two out. I know after recent stuff, it's hard to even want to talk about Punk's year in review, but he's had a great year. He's only lost a handful of matches pretty much. And, you know, he's ended up, if you go by going by kayfabe, he's been pretty much one of the strongest booked people in wrestling. And, you know, before having to give up the belt, was a two-time AEW champion, so it makes sense. Adam Page, again, like we said, I always made the case that when they gave Punk the first time, that Page shouldn't have lost that match. If you remember, that's who I picked when they had that title match. I wanted Page to retain, keep this going. I figured Punk would get it, but I just thought Hangman Page's run, he was doing great, and I thought he could do even better. But, you know, they cut that short, but I don't think anyone can argue with where he's at. And then right here, the top two spots. Of course, it came down to Okada and Roman Reigns. And Kazuchika Okada actually went right in that order. Okada was number two. Roman Reigns is number one. Congratulations. I'm pretty sure, again, I don't necessarily have to tell anyone much of, you know, I think everyone knows why Roman is what he is. Like, he hasn't lost in 2 years. Mm-hmm. He hasn't lost pre-pandemic, I don't think, since the pandemic. And at this point, since the pandemic, I guess it's still considered going on right now, right?
Yeah.
They don't talk about it nowhere near as much. I think that you know,
I feel like
at this point, COVID cases is just,
they're just
the flu, I guess. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. just there, right? Yeah, it's nothing now at this point, at least from the way people talk about it. But anyway, the point is, he hasn't lost, and from what I'm hearing, probably won't lose for a long time. So again, Roman Reigns being there is fine. Kazuchika Okada has only lost like a handful of times in the last year. You know, that being the Jay White, you know, Jonah, and, you know, having a couple other missteps every now and then. But Okada is usually clean, usually going over. And so it makes sense that he would be this high. Some questionable things some people that I want to mention along this list as I continue to go down it. I definitely want to give Matt Cardona love, someone who's spent a lot of time backstage and catering, being Zack Ryder in WWE, for him to be number 13, for him to be above people like Hiroshi Tanahashi, Josh Alexander, you know what I mean? Even MJF, Seth Rollins. Like, think about that. Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona right now is above Seth Rollins on this list. And it actually makes sense if you've been keeping up with everything he's been doing, at least as far as, like, becoming world champion and just, you know, working everywhere that he can. And like I said, I don't think Matt Cardona, if he was to come back to WWE, it would do him justice to even, like, acknowledge Zack Ryder. He should come back as Matt Cardona almost. Like, that's just how much he's established a different air about himself. Let's say it that way. When it comes to, like, with Zach Ryder, yeah, you know, some people still loved him and knew how good he was because how he got over on the internet. But to look at him now and to actually take him seriously as a competitor and just seems like he's in good spirits most of the time, good for him. Even if he's rubbed some people the wrong way, he's, like I said, you can't tell me you can imagine Zach Ryder being this high on this list years ago. So he's done a great job whether you like him or not. MJF being 16 above Seth Rollins, some people may want to argue about that, but MJF has a really good track record right now. Adam Cole being right there below Seth Rollins. Kenny Omega still making the top 20, even though he was injured most of this, you know, I guess 9 months out of this last year. Honestly, he's been gone, or like 10 months, I think. Either way it goes, doesn't matter. Good for Kenny. He's great. I guess that just shows you where his standing was for him to only fall kind of down to 19. So, yeah. Drew McIntyre wrapping up the top 20. Again, you can make the case that he should be much higher. Moose right under him. Chris Jericho, 22. The way he wins, I can't be mad at it. Yeah, it's kind of high. You know, you don't want to see Jericho above a guy like Jay White, who's the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. But again, Jericho rarely loses in like big time situations. So kayfabe wise, I guess I get it. You know, and you can't necessarily be mad at that. You know, then we have Bron Breakker going down here to 26. And I really have to talk about this. As much as I like Bron Breakker and he is the future, I do not think he belongs above Will Ospreay. But from a kayfabe standpoint, and like you mentioned before the show, Bron Breakker is the NXT champion. He has, matter of fact, I think he's like a 2-time NXT champion, and he's done, you know, he's done really, really good in his runs, and he's rarely lost. As a matter of fact, if you're going off kayfabe, I think he's only lost like once to Ciampa. He lost to Ciampa, and then even in the triple threat scenario when Dolph won the title, I don't think he was the one to get pinned. So again, Breakker has been really, really protected. So I get it. I really do. I understand that. And Ospreay has lost in some of these big time matches, even if the matches were great. And again, we got to keep in mind, as mad as this makes me, it's not about match quality. It's more so about where your standing is, you know, kayfabe wise. And so I guess I have to accept it. But what I won't accept is Sammy Guevara being ahead of Zack Sabre Jr. Even if it's one slot, slide Sammy on down, okay? I'm sorry. It's just simple as that. He's nowhere near Zack Sabre Jr. But it's, again, kayfabe wise, because Zack definitely, even though he picks up big wins, he will lose. Like, he lost the title match in the New Japan Cup again. You know what I'm saying? And Sammy Guevara, if I want to give this whole year in review, as much as I hated this feud and run, I think he won the TNT titles like 2 more times over the last year or something like that. So, again, I gotta go ahead and give it up, if you see what I'm saying. And I'm going to round out. I'm going to stop at 30 because, again, I can just go down this list and mention all the people I know and love because we can just keep going. But I'm going to stop right here at Speedball Mike Bailey, who's awesome. Of course, I would like Tetsuya Naito to be higher than 62. But, again, that's my personal bias. Another guy who was out with injury for a while. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I understand. You know, Finn Balor was left off of big pay-per-views. You see what I'm saying? So, I get that. You know, you got to take the entire year in review, and I think that's what's been tough on a lot of people talking about all of this because you're looking at a name, you see a name like Randy Orton, like in the 40s down there, and you're like, it's no way some of these guys are whatever than Randy Orton, but you got to take the last year into account. And Randy has been awesome and great when he was there, but, you know, injury and, you know, what he was doing, it was not like world title type of thing, so... Again, you have to keep that in mind. But that's my take on it. The PWI 500 always gets people talking. I'm glad it, you know, at least gave me a good 15 minutes of content. So I will give it that. But, yeah, I'm not too high or too low on the list. But it's like, how the hell can you argue with the top 5, really? And even how can you argue with Roman? Yes, we can play around with the orders and all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, Roman probably was always going to be number one. He's undefeated. And I think it's well-deserved. So, other than that, I don't have much else to say about the PWI, and I think it's time to get into pure speculation. So, it's noted, all parties involved in the backstage brawl after AEW's All Out event were told not to talk about what happened. It's a belief, however, that some want to talk and tell their side of the story when they can. I wouldn't be surprised if both sides want to say something.
Yeah, me
either. It's just such a mess. So much stuff going around. So many stories and just takes on what who started and how it happened. Yes, at some point we're probably going to get the full details, but obviously we all know that it won't happen until the legal stuff is out of the way. Ringside News claims Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman have been adamant about refusing to allow WWE to turn the Tribal Chief character babyface at any point, no matter the amount of ones or the crowd pop. So, again, I think we've all kind of seen that. No matter how popular Roman has gotten, no matter how much acknowledgement he gets on a weekly basis, he's still kind of based into that original character of who he is. He's still manipulative. He still has the stroke. He's still, you know, throwing his weight around and being, you know, unbeatable. As a matter of fact, I think now he's even more arrogant the longer he's went without getting pinned. And I think that's a perfect thing to continue to play off on, because I think as much as WWE may want Roman to be a babyface, making him a top legendary, like, bad guy, I don't think you guys understand that when, as time goes on, whenever he decides to come back and do that, he's going to get the love and adulation anyway, as time goes on anyway, because just how sustained his greatness has been. So, you know, again, I don't necessarily think he ever has to turn babyface in this situation. I think he can make stronger. Like, for example, Sami Zayn, depending on where they go with this, can be a huge babyface because of his association with what he did. What he's doing now with the bloodline and Roman Reigns. And I think that's another a great way. Like, let Roman continue to be that guy, the measuring stick, the heel, and then continue to try to build up other guys, like more, you know, more opportunities for guys like Big E, more opportunities for Sami Zayn, more, you know, Chan. That don't mean they necessarily will beat him. But again, I think they will only become more you're gonna root for them more as they continue to work with and tell stories with a guy as big and as over as Roman is right now. Dave Meltzer said that in his on the Wrestling Observer Network that he was told that Roman's next major match will be on the Saudi show, and it won't be against Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens. So there we go.
It's a Saudi show.
Hopefully it's not Goldberg. That's pretty much the only thing I had to say about this. Triple H, I guess, was kind of already mentioned. I guess somebody asked him about that. That it'd probably be less of those little impromptu legendary things. Ah, I just thought about it. Who am I kidding? It's going to be Braun, right? That makes sense. Yeah, Braun. Yeah, because I think he's on SmackDown. Makes sense. Roman, yeah, Roman took his... was it him? No, it was The Fiend he actually took the belt from. But he beat Braun, I think. Or no, he didn't make it to Mania. How did that work? That's weird. He definitely beat Braun, though. He definitely came back and beat Braun. Now, the timeline is throwing me off, because I know Braun had a little quick Universal title run. History is killing me.
Yeah, the past 2 years are blurred.
It's kind of like a blur, because did Drew beat him, or did Goldberg beat Braun?
Then Goldberg beat Braun. Cause,
yeah, Goldberg cause... beat Braun, and Drew beat Goldberg?
No, Drew or beat... Or did Drew beat... Brock.
Okay, I'm confused. As you can see, yeah, we got a confusing history here when it comes to this. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just suggesting that it be Braun, because I know him and Roman have history and doing it in Saudi. I don't necessarily know if that's what they're going to do, but I'm just saying, makes sense. But we'll see what happens. But if it's not Seth Rollins or Kevin, it could be Drew again also. So take that into account. Toxic Attraction appeared on SmackDown this week, but they have not been called up to the main roster, said, you know, that organization Ringside News that I don't necessarily care about, but they claim that they're not called up yet, so that's cool. The story about the Young Bucks sending feelers to WWE came from Ryan Frederick, who covers MMA for Wrestling Observer. He wrote on the board that he stands by his report, having heard it from multiple people. Frederick also insists that it's not a big deal. It's not like they actually reached out to WWE management or anything. They told a friend in the company, a fellow wrestler, that they would be willing to listen to offers when their deals are up. I believe in January 2024. And let it be known. They just wanted to let it be known that they were willing to listen to offers. And that's kind of like what I mentioned. I joked that it could have been just like something to Cody, but I just thought about it. Maybe Kevin Owens, another person you could just tell this to. I doubt it was a big deal, even though FIFA Selects, one FIFA Select source swears that they heard Matt and Nick Jackson asked to speak to management. While that hasn't been confirmed, the rumors persisted in WWE for weeks now. So it is what it is. We'll see how that turns out. Like I mentioned last week, I believe on this platform, either way it goes, it's gonna be like a bidding war, kind of like it was in 2019. So I don't think that's changed, but I do think I think the mind state of it is probably more so the story here, and I think some people are just shocked that they would even be doing this, if you see what I'm saying, because of what they started up. Mm-hmm. And because of how you seem to be wanting to do a revolution, but now you're saying you're listening to those offers. But what people don't understand is, even when they were starting the revolution in 2019, they were listening to the offers. They just turned it down so they can do their own thing. like they were listening to the offers even back then. Business is business, people. Mm-hmm. But I get it. I get why people are shocked, though.
I think for me and my infinite need for drama, I think the best part of this story is they chose Tony Khan to be their backer, and then Tony Khan did a heel turn and chose CM Punk to be the person that he wants to continue in this company. This is alleged. This is all in my mind. No, it's pure speculation. But now that they realize that Tony Khan is just another shifty booker, they want to go somewhere else.
Or it's just like you said, or it could be like a similar thing to what Cody kind of alluded to, of just like feeling like you had, like I mentioned before, you have an EVP position, but it ended up causing you more problems than doing you good. The money is worth. Right. The extra bonus ain't worth it, because you'd just rather be one of the boys again. Yep. And then also, like you said, either the trust with time, like how could you? Like how can you look at, it definitely won't be the same way as it was in 19, where it seemed like they had nothing but glowing things to say about how Tony is, like, he's a fan of the business, he's this, he's that.
We're forgetting Tony sat right beside Phillip when he was spewing all that nonsense.
To be fair, now that I look at some of the live clips, Tony was definitely, he was taken aback, but it's just like, I'm mad at him, because I feel like, again, you gotta do something, you gotta like, cut that mic. Punk, relax, like, or like, cold, like, but again, I'm pretty sure he thinks he's gonna make it worse if he intervened. That's what I'm assuming. The way he looked, he was sitting there like, I'm probably not gonna do anything but make him matter if I try to stop him now. Right. But again, I do feel like you gotta have more control in it, or at least
his problem solving skills. They need some work.
It just also show how tapped into what's going on he is, because again, you have to know that this can go left because of how Punk is feeling.
After what especially happened when you give him a live mic, the Hangman thing, like you can see the fumes festering, and at some point you need to make an executive decision.
Rein it in. Shoot an angle for the press scrum instead. Like make him go immediately into talking about MJF or something. You know what I'm saying? Like
yes, have some questions planted.
I know we're doing a lot of this in hindsight, but again, it just makes me feel like that's one of those times where he got burned with that freedom.
Yeah.
You get burned when you give a little bit of too much freedom. And I know you probably wouldn't expect it from Punk, I think you probably should, at this point.
If Punk had this planned, I mean, I would at least say, hey, we got some high notes, we got some topics that we're not talking about. You have all freedom, just not in those topics, because we can't go anywhere with these. You just venting. If you want to vent, go on Twitter and vent.
Vent somewhere else. Exactly. I 100% agree with that. Insider reports said that while rewrites of television shows still occur under Triple H, scripts are no longer being torn up late and completely rewritten. And writers feel that they aren't having to hurry up to wait, basically, like they did when Vince was there. And meetings began, sometimes Vince McMahon's meetings began hours late, and they would end up talking about unimportant things for a long time. And they feel like that part is just done. Everything is productive now. At least that's the rumors from the writers.
He had an old brain.
It is what it is. Yeah, they come in there to try to talk about, yo, we want to, they're pitching an angle, and he's talking about, yo, how the kids are doing.
Yeah.
you get to talking 50 minutes about that, nothing's changed. And now what Vince wants is
to tear up the script.
Yeah. Now he's gonna book it on the fly, rip it up and do a new one. It's weird, but I can almost kinda, I think from that point of view you can almost You know, you feel
better organization.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but I like we said, we have heard less, and then also that's another thing. People wanted. I think we can go ahead and admit now there was people inside WWE who wanted Vince gone, and the only reason why I say that is because you heard what they just said. Scripts are still being torn up, or like still being reshifted. You know, in the day, or like whatever, whenever they're still remaking scripts, but we haven't heard one time so far. You know, on the night after a Raw, that backstage is in turmoil, or it was chaos because an hour. We haven't, like, every time it was something wrong with WWE, we heard about it in the media. But now, as you can see, you know, yeah, they're still getting rumors out, but it's a lot different. So whoever was the guy leaking everything, he's not leaking as much now. Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, okay, I don't have nothing to talk about. That whoever comes and takes their statement, like, yeah, I don't have nothing to talk about today. You know, stuff still happened, but it's much better.
Right.
Much better. And then he gonna get fired when, you know, we find out who he is. But
whoever it is, yeah, exactly. Whoever we're just placing all this on. It's probably a group of them now that I think about it.
Standing at the water cooler.
Yeah. Note, Russell Votes notes that WWE is in a complex situation with the world title. Roman Reigns currently has because they want to go into WrestleMania next year with two different champions, but don't want him to lose a match. So the creative is open to trying anything. And I understand that they don't want Roman to get pinned again, but how in the hell can they change the belts? How can they split those belts up without having Roman lose?
A ladder match.
Okay, explain that. What you mean? Just what?
So
you just gonna put one belt on the line, a ladder match?
Yeah. One person just come out there and declare, "Look, forget all that."
That is a way that he don't. That is a way that he don't get pinned. But I think technically he still loses. So I guess they don't want that. And that's the problem. It's the problem is they don't want. I don't know. I said pin here, and I think let me see. No, see, look, they wrote on WrestleVote. They said they don't want him to lose a match. So, it's not even just the action of him getting pinned now. So, unfortunately, a ladder match won't help. He's still losing.
Let's just give
so how the hell that works?
The title to Sami Zayn.
No, okay. I mean, I get what you're trying to say, but no, they're not going to do that.
A reward for all of his hard work. He just gets a title.
No, not going to have.
It works, though. Roman doesn't lose. The bloodline looks strong. Sami gets a title. Everything I've wanted all culminates into one thing.
Yeah, but I don't. They wouldn't like that.
I mean, they said they're willing to do anything.
Yeah, but not that. I'm pretty sure that's. I'm pretty sure
we can't show nepotism and gift Sami a title.
Do you remember what happened? Do you remember how people? And I'm not trying to. I'm not even going to say they overreacted because it was bad. But do you remember the outlook on when they did the draft and Becky and Charlotte just had the trade belts? And I know what that led to it. I know that's what people mostly started to talk about. But besides that, just the act of them having to trade belts on television just seemed like the biggest insult in the world to people.
But we know the Universal title isn't all that. It's, you know, it's not a Universal title.
That's the problem, though.
So Sami can get the Universal title.
No. Now, you're right.
The Universal title is cursed.
You're right, but that's not the same belt anymore. At least that's what WWE
wants.
It
looks the same.
That's not how they want you to think about it. See, you're thinking about it that way. Roman has changed all of that.
He ain't changed.
There's no longer a curse there because Roman was able to hold this thing for however long. I'm just telling you how they want you to look at the belt. It's the same thing with Bobby Lashley. The reason why I'm saying
we can make him earn the title that he's gifted. I mean.
Because, Matt, speaking of this, I'm just going to go into it because it's a rumor I have later. Bobby Lashley, they've been putting so much emphasis on breaking the United States title important because they know Roman is a part-time world champion. So the United States championship is now being rebranded as something that's just as important as a world title, or at least very important, if not just as important.
Okay.
And the point I'm trying to make is that the person changes that. The United States Championship was a joke, but when it's on Bobby Lashley and if it's being defended every week, it's no longer a joke. You see what I'm trying to say?
I see what you're saying.
And I get what you're saying about the overall outlook of the Universal title, but I'm just saying people are going to have a fucking fit if they pass those belts. Just like, pass it to Sami.
We can make him do like a gang initiation. He got to go through and fight all of the bloodline and then Roman give it to him because he proved himself. But, yeah. You know.
No, it's just not.
Just give it away.
Not gonna work that way. Okay. I see what you're saying though. This just shows you guys the mess that they're in. I guess is one way to do it.
Especially
I
was if you thinking, don't want people to lose.
I was thinking you just put them in a match with a guy like Drew, and then you go that if someone interferes or anything DQ word that happens, Drew gets the belt. And then just let something DQ worthy happen again. That's how they've done it in the past. But again, I guess technically on the record book, that still says that it's Roman lost
by DQ.
So again, I guess that's probably why they haven't done it. That's a
and
little
then
too
if
simple.
If he vacated, then it's just worse than getting.
Vacating is just like I feel like the people would feel about
if he gave
just it. Gave it away. But at the same time, that might be the only way to go. Cause again, where do you do this? Adam Pearce strips him.
Nah.
But when the hell y'all get power? Cause this
he been
monopolizing the belts for a while now. Yeah, not only the belts, but just monopolizing his power for
a
while.
I don't know, man. I feel
so
like
again, how the hell you get out of this?
Sammy should run the gauntlet, and the prize be for him to get a title gifted by the tribal tree. Like that just fits storyline wise. I agree. It makes the title look bad, but they could fix it. They could rebuild.
I mean,
the
even
reputation.
If you did that, you know, like I get what you're saying. At least the gauntlet thing is an idea. Because right now, I think as we just explored, they ain't got nothing.
The options is
they,
slim.
They don't have anything right
slim
now.
Slim pickings.
Yeah, it's tough. Hey, let me know out there if you guys got a better idea than what we came up with.
Yeah,
WWE has moved Kevin Owens to the babyface side of their internal roster, and I think when he was given
to see this list,
he's given Austin Theory a piece of his mind. I think it was pretty much obvious that Kevin is now a babyface. It was a great promo, by the way, on Raw. He's been doing that a lot. Dave Meltzer said on Twitter that Brody King, Buddy Matthews are a tag team moving forward. Even no matter what happens with Malakai Black, AEW has also applied the trademark to House of Black, so the group will be continuing no matter the status. No matter what happens with Malakai.
Okay.
Sounds normal. The black and gold logo isn't the only thing Triple H is bringing back to NXT. Brian Alvarez reported that the upcoming Halloween Havoc show is listed internally as a takeover. Hunter has brought the takeover name back, which was banished by Vince and Kevin Dunn. also brought back Brian Katz. He's going to return to work to WWE, possibly even this week, from PW Insider. The site also says they've heard other members of Triple H's old NXT team could follow Road Dogg and Ryan Katz back to the company in some fashion over time. So again, he's
fixing that mistake.
Going back to where he was, right. You know, hiring a lot of the people who was there, just doing a lot, just exact everything that basically all the bad PR that he can try to rectify from the last few years. It seems like Triple H is doing all he can to get things back to the way it was.
Working hard.
Pre-pandemic. Per PW Insider, Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai have all been added to creative plans for tonight's SmackDown. Meltzer mentioned that next... Io and Dakota just became tag champions, so of course they're going to possibly be on both shows now going forward. And I'm pretty sure Bayley can do whatever she wants at this point. Even though she's with them, so... I'm gonna be surprised. I'd be surprised if they left her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, she's gonna probably manage whatever they do. So
they got some damage to control.
And we know that Bayley is probably gonna be going against Bianca next. So big things are coming for them. Of course, Meltzer mentioned that Friday's Grand Slam episode of Rampage, that next Friday's Grand Slam episode of Rampage will be 2 hours long.
Oh no!
So maybe that Rampage will actually get booked like it's an actual show.
I don't know.
But yeah, due to Roman Reigns' lack of appearances on the show, on Raw, they really wanted to make sure United States was a credible prize with Bobby Lashley at the forefront right now. Russell News Cole was told that there are no plans for Roman Reigns to lose the Universal Championship this year. Triple H is sticking by Vince's original plan for Reigns to walk into WrestleMania still undefeated as champion for a match against The Rock. The idea right now is for Roman to beat The Rock and then lose the title sometime after WrestleMania. On a related note, Dave Meltzer writes in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that WWE wants to make Reigns the legend of this generation. And I think that's pretty clear. That's always been the move. I don't think you redo Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar 12 times. I don't think you force him down our throats when he was a baby face and all of that for years if you don't want to make him the guy, the legend of this generation. So I'm not really surprised. And also, I don't think you'll let a guy run, be the champion for as long as he has now. 700 something days now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you have no intentions of making him the guy. He's breaking Bruno. He's trying to, up there with like Bruno Sammartino and them and Hogan, all those year reigns.
Yeah.
Those years of reigns. Like, so of course they're trying to put his name in the record books. It makes sense. And again, look at who they're trying to get him to fight.
I don't blame him.
They're trying to get him to fight the biggest star in Hollywood over the last, decade. So
20 years actually.
Okay, yeah. Last 20 years.
Dwayne's been doing this since the early 2000s, yeah?
Yeah, but he wasn't necessarily the biggest, yeah.
15.
That's what I was doing. Yeah, right. By 15 would be the most accurate, but still. The point is, it's The Rock. And it's gonna, if they find a way to pull it off, I think we're all going to be satisfied. Even if some people are going to be frustrated with the fact that Roman is not going anywhere as far as being champion right now. He's just not moving, and you have to deal with it. And I don't have a problem with it, man. Part of me is like, oh man, it's just one guy is bigger than the entire roster. But at any time, they can make a new guy just as big, whether it's Cody, whether it's Seth, no matter, whatever you want.
Austin.
Yeah, whoever they want to put next to Roman in the future, they can make a new guy whose future is just as bright or at least around the realm to bring Roman down. And I think that's what I think we're most excited for. It's like, who's going to get that opportunity? Who's going to get that rub? And where we're going to go with that? And, yeah, man, but that's it. That's the end of my speculation. A lot of this stuff, I don't even think it's speculation.
Kind of common sense.
A lot of it is just like, yeah, a lot of it seems right. But it is, I do want to remind everyone that it is exactly what I just said it is. Speculation. Thank you guys for listening to me talking about the PWI. Let's get into, those little, what do they call those things? Marbles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, my marbles. So, if you remember last week, I told you I was going to discuss Jackson Wang's album after some deep contemplation.
Which, by the way, I don't know why. In hindsight, let's do a little bit. Hold on. Just in hindsight.
I'll tell you why.
Probably wouldn't. Yeah. Anyway, let's go. Go ahead.
So,
not the deepest album to deep dive into.
It's not.
Go ahead.
It's only 10 songs, 27 minutes in length. Very standard for this new generation of music. Less than 30 minutes. I completed this whole album in one shopping trip, like to the grocery store. Like that's it. Like I didn't even linger. Like I was going in about like 3 items, and the album was done. I want to say that to say, I was slightly disappointed in some aspects. So I've grouped my review based on like the songs I like, the songs I don't like, the songs that were like eh. Start off on a cold foot, not a hot foot, because this is gonna be bad. So I only support Jackson because I like his personality. He's an Aries, so there's a group of idols that I've just adopted because they're Aries and I like their personality. Jackson Wang is one of them. On this album, there are 3 songs that I just do not like. I do not like them. The first one is Champagne Cool, because at first I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, I love this beat. This beat is nice. And then he messes it up with the lyrics. Like, I hate the lyrics. I should have known when the title was called Champagne Cool that I would hate the lyrics. But it ain't even about like keeping the champagne on ice and popping bottles. No, it's not. It's trash. But the beat is nice. It's a beat tease. And that's what is in common with a lot of these songs. Before I move on, how do you feel about Champagne Cool?
I liked it I liked it to mess with you. It's funny. I guess that's what he was trying to do. It's not so much as about the popping balls. It's just like, listen to me, be cool, guys. So I'm just gonna talk about. I'm just gonna bring up random things
Jackson's
that I think is
not cool.
I'm gonna just bring up random things that I think is cool, and I think that's the problem. It just came off as a little like he's trying a little too hard. But at the same time, like you said, the lyrics, I don't want to say they were completely nonsensical. It's just they had no, like I said, just, I don't know. It kind of disconnected you from the song. But it didn't sound bad, so I used it to mess with you at first, other than that. But, yeah, I don't necessarily like it.
Okay. The next song that I absolutely did not like was Come Alive. Again, this is a beat that I thought that I would enjoy, but it was a wasted beat. First of all, like, the vocals were not good. They were not good.
But it was, by the way, we don't come to him for vocals.
We don't. We've never come to Jackson for vocals. We know that, you know, in his K-pop days,
he was
a rapper. Nobody ever said he could do more than harmonize.
Listen to Bullet to the Heart, guys.
Don't listen to it.
You'll love it.
It's painful. Now,
that's what he was trying to do.
Again, I like the beat. The beat was so nice. And then he just wasted it on the vocals and the lyrics. And then a whole bunch of the time, it was a bunch of oohs and ahs. And I'm like, you could have done so much more. Like, with this, if you want to embody what I think you're going to embody, I want more in my lyrics. Nobody claimed that he was a lyricist either.
No.
Don't. Nobody's ever said
that. And it's pop music. So I do want to keep that in mind. That in pop, you're right. I know, but a lot of times they don't.
You can't have a beat like that and be soulless.
Hey, man, that just seemed to be the move of pop music lately.
And that's why I'm not listening to
pop music. Not much, yeah, not much actual tangible things to, you know, not much feeling, just a lot of broadness. My problem with that song was just like a couple. My problem with a lot of the songs, that's why if we go song by song, you're just going to hear me repeating myself. It just sounded like a song I heard that was better. Like, I sound like better versions of that song. It reminded me of things that if I went and listened to it, I'd be like, this sound better than that song I just heard. And that's always going to be an indictment, in a way, to where, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be inspired, then you have to do something, like you said, meaningful or something unique with the sound. But if you're going to do that same sound, then it's just going, you're going to do that same sound, then you're not going to have much to say.
And then it's kind of like it's similar, like you said, we'll get into this in the overall review, but he had two bags that he went into in this album. But if you're going to have those bags, give me something else to make me want to be a part of this song. Like, make the album an experience. And I don't feel like Come Alive, Champagne Cool, even Blue that we're about to get into, did anything to help bolster this album and make it an experience. Like, we could have left these songs off and the album would not have suffered. Blue, I hated the video for this. The volume was so low. Like, and then when I got in the car and I listened to Blue, I was like, this song ain't even, it's not even, I wouldn't even pick this as a song to do a video on, because the song was just basic. I would have preferred he do a video on another one of his upbeat songs, or even Dopamine. Like, this song did not deserve the video that it got. And the video was so lackluster, and the song was just so boring that I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. I never listened to it, honestly.
Blue.
I don't know why I said Blow. That's all. That just let you know. I'm already thinking about another song. Blue. I didn't listen to it. The actual track of it, even though the little part I heard was okay, I think, but I didn't listen to it long enough to get the lyrics or anything. And then, like you said, the video, I don't know, maybe if we go back to it now, the volume is fixed, but it was weird. It was really weird. I've never had to cut up the TV or the receiver we're using so loud just to hear, you know, like you mentioned, a lackluster, you know, Post Malone sounding song. But it wasn't, like, again, I don't want to come off too bad because, again, I didn't listen to it all, but, yeah.
From somebody that listened to it all, it was meh. Now, these two songs, they're kind of mid to me, kind of meh, but I don't mind them. The main issue with Just Like Magic and All the Way is that the beat was nice, but they're just forgettable songs. And, you know, in particular, All the Way reminds me of other songs. Like, you played two other, I told you one song, and you played another song where it was like, oh, this is a better song. But I see the vibe he was going for, and I don't like to be reminded of other songs, and it's just easy to forget them. They're not terrible. They're just forgettable.
Yeah, that's the song that kind of reminded me of, I think, Erase Me by Kid Cudi is the name of that song. But if you go back, if you listen to that, you'll hear it. And then you mentioned that it kind of sounded like that Division song featuring Miguel. And I was like, "That please don't mention it. They sang so much better than him that it's not even fair for you to say that it sounds like that." Because you, I immediately started to think that song is way better than what I'm listening to. So again, like I said, it's a common theme, something that he kind of ran into a couple of times on this album, to where it's like, it reminds me of something. And it's just like, yeah, what it reminds me of is way better than this. And like you said, it's hard to recover from that.
I agree. These next five songs are what I'm going to title as the actual album. Like, these songs should be the actual songs on the album. It should not have been a 10-track album. It should have been a mini album with five songs. Because Blow, Cruel, Go Ghost, Drive It Like You Stole It, and Dopamine were what made this album an album. Blow and Cruel, I love the visuals, I love the beat, I love the vibe and the lyrics, and I love those two songs when they were just singles. They get to stay because they were, I know, I understand, but they get to stay because specifically those two are the first songs that I heard from Jackson as a solo artist, and they kind of got me involved into him as an artist, and I appreciated those songs. Go Ghost and Drive It Like You Stole It are the songs that make you come back to this album. Drive It Like You Stole It is so good. It's so catchy, and it's got the funky vibe. It's got the beat. Go Ghost, I love the story. Like, that song had a story. He's telling you how much regret he feels because he really liked this lady's intimacy, or likes being intimate with this lady, and how you feel when you have to leave and just drop it off because, you know, you're in a different place in life, whatever. I love the story of that song. Again, has a great beat. Those two are the songs that make you stay. Dopamine is my favorite song on that album. It's a slow beat, and I kind of like a ballad sometimes, but it makes you feel like it makes you feel emotions. Like, if you know what dopamine is, it makes you feel good. That's what that song is. I do not like the TikTok challenge. Jackson, you should have consulted somebody when it came to making something a challenge on TikTok, Instagram Reels, whatever, because it
came up with the most difficult dance he possibly could.
And then I've seen some of the people that have decided to do it, and most of it's comical. It's not serious. And if you're going to do a TikTok challenge to keep a song on the charts, something about it's got to be easy enough for people to do. You got to make it catchy. The song is catchy, but you can't just rely on the song being catchy. The dance got to be catchy. Nobody wants to. I could rant about this forever. I won't. But the TikTok challenge dropped the ball on how great the song is. And I don't want to take away from how great the song is, because the song is actually pretty good. Overall, do you want to talk about any of the five songs that make up the actual album? No.
Like I said, I don't too much care about Cruel or Blow. They kind of do the same thing that I kind of went through. I kind of said with you know, they kind of go through the same thing I kind of said with some of the other songs on here, to where it's like, nah, bro. Like, they remind me of other genres, not in a bad way. You know, but just, again, didn't really do much for me. I do think, like you said, the visuals were great. They were very creative. But the sound or the song wasn't necessarily, to me, what I was looking for. And also, let's see, you said Go Ghost. Like you said, I do like that. And I didn't even really think about the story behind it. It just was kind of, I really liked the production on it. You know, even though that's another one of the times where I mentioned some, I can see other people making this even better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I did like it, and I didn't mind it. I also was just, again, it just showed me how different he was from other artists that you would probably group him in with because of his past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that he would even talk about that, because like we said, we know that that's how it is for them, or for the most part, if they having physical relationships, they pretty much have to kind of be in them shoes of going ghost in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear a song encapsulated like that and do it right, I think that's what I like the most about it. That's why I downloaded it. And then when Drive It Like You Sold It, it's my type of song. Like, the chorus was the way I liked it. His vocals was pretty good on that one. He kind of kept it within a pretty good range. I know some auto-tune probably was there, but still, it was great. It wasn't bad. It wasn't obnoxiously bad. And then, even though it probably didn't have as much meaning as maybe the other songs that you just said were really good, it definitely, like I said, gave off the vibes that I think he wanted to. Like, the driving, like, you stole it. Yeah. Right. Like, it gave off that energetic, that fun energy that I think he was going for. So again, that's by far my favorite song. The only song. And this is my thing. I know we're about to talk about overall, and I don't want to give it away, so I'm not gonna say everything, but that song is something that I came back for. And I think that is the biggest sign when you're reviewing or when you like something that's new, how much of it drag brings you back. You know, you can listen to something and say, okay, this is a good song, see what they were going with it. I liked it. You can review it. But you don't truly like something until you have to come back for it a couple of times. And I think that's why I really like it, because it made me want to come back. It was one of the only songs that held my interest long enough to be like, yeah, I'll come back to this.
Okay, I understand. So I guess moving on to overall feelings, the album had a nice vibe. Again, like I said, I feel like the album was truly only 5 songs long, and then the rest of the other 5 songs were okay, I need to pad this album, but they could have been left off. I don't dislike them. Some of these songs I'll come back to, for the beat alone, and I would not at all for his vocals. Let's just be honest. But for the beat alone, I would come back to some of these songs. Not a lot of them. Like I said, I'd probably come back to 5. I only downloaded 7, but I'm not putting all 7 into one of my usual playlists. Like, if they come on, it's usually coming on because I press shuffle on all my songs. If you look at it for the artistry that Jackson wanted to put into it, then you might enjoy this album. Like, there's heavy themes of sex, cigarettes, and just
a lot sweat. Of cigarette talk for some
a
reason.
Lot of cigarettes. I don't care who smokes cigarettes, but it was a lot of cigarette talk. And I think you kept mentioning, oh, Jackson's never the one smoking it in there, but you know, he's always tasting it on somebody's lips. Jackson is also sitting there smoking those cigarettes. I don't care what you say. You don't talk about cigarettes that much.
I only say that because that's the way he decided to phrase it. Like, in every song, he phrases it the same. Like, you taste like cigarettes. Or, ooh, 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 ooh. Like, yeah. He rarely admits or overtly.
How do you know what cigarettes
says
taste like?
He's doing unless this you, and you, doing you that. Taste I agree.
But like you said, there. If I had to just so for the remainder of the year at least, Keebum's album is going to be like the pinnacle of success for a K-pop album for me, because I come back to all of the songs on the album. I have them in my workout playlist. I have it in my Just Wanna Fool Around playlist, in my study playlist. Like, I have those songs everywhere, and then I keep listening to them. I make sure I listen to one song at least every day, yada, yada, yada. Jackson's album does not fit that. If that's the standard of where we are, Jackson's album is not there. It's not even close to being there. But that's not any disrespect to him. It just has its own place in society, and it's just for me, if I had to rank them, I would say it's 4th tier, and not in a good way. So like, it's 5 tiers total. I would say it's 4th tier, with Keebum being number 1. The 3 songs that BTS put out would be like a solid halfway point, because I do come back to them. So like, I guess that's a scale. I don't have a number 2 to compare it to right now, but I would put it at number 4. It's like, I enjoy it for what it is, but I don't see it as being like a staple in my life for the rest of the year. Like, I may easily forget about these songs by the time December comes and we have to talk about our favorite songs of the year.
Yeah, like I said, I only downloaded 2 songs out of the 10, so of course I don't think I could say that I like the album or anything. But I will say that it is, like I said, it's obviously pop music in general and K-pop, whatever, however, whatever, you want, whatever letter you want to put in front of, whatever. Pop music in general is all about the masses, and I think it's something on here for everybody, in a way. For example, some people look at can listen to his song Papillion and have a great laugh, like me. I enjoy it because I find it hilarious how bad it's so bad it's good to me. But I'm that guy. I'm into stuff like that. Rainism by Rain is another one. My pre-show song. Yeah, I brought it up. Rainism. Horrible song probably. But hilarious.
And you listen to the English version. Don't listen
and
to the English.
And the English version is just nasty and I love it. It's just great. It's what the vibes of that song is all meant about. Don't, like I said, I shouldn't even be talking about Rainism. Supposed to be like a guilty pleasure, but it's so funny to me that I don't care. Same thing with Papillion. Papillion is supposed to be a guilty pleasure, but it's so funny to me, like a classic Papillon. Anyway,
stop it.
Like I said, I go to that stuff, and I don't necessarily listen. I haven't really listened to Jackson seriously. So to give even the few songs I gave a chance, I think is an upgrade, because like you mentioned, for the most part, it was mostly because of his personality. We didn't really come to knowing about Jackson because of how great his music. But I do think his visuals for Cruel and all of that is the reason why you wanted to see this or listen to his project, because you were really into that. And like I said, I like the creativity that he's allowed to have with his own label and all that.
He had an orgy concept.
Yeah, he won't admit it that that's what it was.
It was definitely an origin.
Yeah, it's no doubt. But anyway, no, I have no problem with it. I know some people who probably can enjoy it. It's people who was talking about listening to it the entire thing like that.
Yeah.
And it's people like me who peeked through and saw some stuff that I thought was better than others. And I can't complain either way, because I know it's going to, you have different takes on it. Everyone has different thought processes about the same 10 songs.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I don't have a problem.
These 10 songs saved somebody's life.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. It did. It wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, shout out, I have no problem with doing this. It's always fun.
That was so serious, but NCT put out their fourth album, NCT 127. Let me clarify.
I like doing it. Let me say it that way. Cuz I said I like that.
Good.
I didn't like the album.
You tolerate.
But I liked talking about it. It was cool.
Okay, we'll do this again next week with the 127 album.
Okay, I don't know about it. We'll see.
Because that's 12 songs. You can do it. You can do it. We watched.
That depends. That all depends, first of all. Because, I can't guarantee that.
We watched the Two Baddies video yesterday and listened to the song. We had to play it twice. Once to see the visuals, and then the second time to like actually read the subtitles of what they're saying. I don't recommend doing the second part. Those lyrics don't make sense. It's just a fun song that's supposed to sound fun. Don't go digging into the lyrics. What did Tayo say?
Why aren't we driving away?
Something like that. Yeah. And there's no reason for that to be there once you look at the lyrics, because we don't know why you're not driving away.
Yeah, he said that part in English, so we kind of had set it up in our mind what was said before that. But yeah, it ended up being no relation at all to why he said it. And it is what it is. I don't recommend people don't do it. I think you should, but the thing is, just don't take it too seriously, because it's NCT. Like, if anybody who know anything about them, they are not like, every now and then, I guess you could say the entire song has a purpose. Mm-hmm. A point, but it's usually very, very random, specifically in this case. And like I said, maybe you can go like the Highway to Heaven, and maybe that song is on topic for the most part. But
yeah,
even like I said, it doesn't really matter. Like, they have probably more songs where it's like random. Like, for example, Cherry Bomb.
Yeah,
they were the biggest hit of what when that came out. They weren't even on people's radars, really. Other than 7 Cents.
That's true.
But they're the biggest hit. So I'm saying it's not necessarily always, it's not really about what they're saying ever. I do love listening to or seeing what they're saying, because again, it adds a layer. It even makes some of it even funnier. But I do agree. Don't necessarily do that for this one. I think the visual, take look at the visuals first.
Yes.
Yeah, because the visuals by itself
and listening to the song
you know it's kind of cool, but
yeah, because at first TikTok only gives you the cooler worst.
It's cooler. Let's say that
when they do their TikTok challenges, again, Jackson, talk to somebody. But when they do the TikTok challenges, they give you the weirdest part of the song. And I don't think Too Baddie should be the title of this song. I feel like the Korean title.
Oh, my goodness. Here you go.
Is more of a descriptive term for what they're saying.
But I also understand.
I don't know why they screaming Too Baddies at us.
It's necessary. Like, it being titled that over here makes a lot of sense.
How?
It's not about, again, you're thinking about it wrong. What the hell do they repeat constantly? They ain't repeating race. They ain't say race one time in Korean. They probably did. But still, what I'm trying to say is they repeated Too Bad is one portion repeatedly.
They did. I know. And they put that part in there specifically on purpose.
So, of course, it's going to be Too Bad. Even if the song don't have much to do with the old set, with said baddies. You know,
yeah,
they did have some lyrics alluding
to a lady,
to a woman, or inviting someone riding with them. So,
yeah,
you know, that's enough, I guess, for them.
It is. The visuals were great, though.
First of all, I don't know why you talking about the wrong thing. Nobody cares about what you're talking about right now. Go ahead and get into what you want to talk about.
Oh, all the shirtless men.
That's the only thing that everyone else is talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had Yuta and Johnny the whole time with no shirt. Jungwoo had no shirt on for some reason at one point with a white fur coat. That was confusing.
Let that man flex.
Okay, and then we got a shot where Taeyong, Yuta, Johnny, and Jungwoo was walking around in fluorescent paint with no shirts on. I saw a handprint on Yuta's chest, and then I saw Jungwoo had green palms, so you can make inferences there if you wish.
Lord. That's not
the main.
Taeyong had a pimp cane.
The main talking point. All of these outfits were wild. I feel like
had a pimp
the
cane.
Most normal people there were Haechan and Taeyo when it came to outfits. I don't know why Doyo had the little flaps on his pants. I don't know. I can't explain a lot of it.
What do you think about the song though?
The song is fun. It's fun. Don't take it seriously. I'm probably gonna walk around the house for a couple days screaming two baddies, one Porsche. I just want to talk to Jaehyun for a minute.
Yeah, I agree. It's good fun. And I think that's all it was meant to be. And I think that TikToker was right who said it, two baddies or just their music in general is just meant for people who don't take life too seriously and just have fun.
Yeah.
Or people who are enjoying
their
life.
You got enough serious music out here.
Like, it's more than enough stuff to take serious. So, you know, just go have fun with those weirdos.
With
so
those
I get it.
Two baddies in that one Porsche. Watch the video, because Doyo shaking at the speed of light was hilarious. It was a hilarious video. I laughed
time. You're not explaining it right. Not only was he shaking at the speed of light, it was timed perfectly with his unnecessary high note. All right, you can go. It was unnecessary.
There's a lot of unnecessary things in these songs, but
and poor vocal line.
Yeah, this was
they
a
were
rap
there,
song.
But they were not really needed.
This was a rap song. Honesty, they pulled Yuta from the vocal line and made him a rapper there.
I'm glad they were there, but J2 were not needed. But yeah.
Yeah, high notes were not necessary.
Go ahead and talk to Jay.
Don't change your aesthetic now. You've come to be known as a certain way. You're supposed to be in that glow paint with everybody else.
She means a whore when she says a certain way.
Yes. That's exactly what I mean.
The female NCT fans whore him out constantly.
He did it himself.
He's tired of it. Let that man rest.
He passed the reins on because Jungwoo had that Calvin Klein modeling ad thing. And that's fine. You're getting a little old.
Lord have mercy.
But I can't say that when you got Tae Young and Johnny still walking around.
I was about to say, what you mean? Tae Young ain't stopping Tae at all.
Tae is a visual.
He been doing this a long time now.
He has. I don't think he owns a shirt most of the time.
A good 8 years now, at least.
But Johnny, don't forget what got you the fans that you got, okay? Don't be straying away. It wasn't your face card, even though, you know, you cute. but it wasn't your face card. We got enough pretty faces on 127. You got to hop over on the other side where you belong. That is all I have to say to Jay. But the Two Baddies album, we're going to review it next week. 12 songs, 57 minutes. It's going to be fun. We've talked for an hour now, so we're going to wrap it up.
But anyway.
Bye. Adios. Got a new album. Annyeong.
I'll see you guys. Thanks for listening this long, because we just kind of rambled the last 5 minutes. I don't know how we got here, but peace out. Love you.